Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth devil has set them free. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. I'm here in Wheatland visiting some dear friends on our way to Bend, Oregon, where I have the privilege to participate in a prayer and fasting conference where I'll be preaching with my dear friend, Evangelist Benny Beckham, and hosted by another great friend, Pastor Peel, at Victory Baptist Church in Bend. So my friends, please pray. We're looking for God to move hearts to prepare for revival. Let's get started. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, Proverbs 1:17. Even a bird brain can see the net that's being spread for us. Har har. It is interesting how obvious our Lord Jesus has made it for us. I mean, it's like this giant finger of God extending out of heaven and pointing out all the places where the workmen are building the net they intend to use to take us as prey. And yet it is amazing to me how many don't see it. We'll be talking about the Great Reset today. I've heard about this repeatedly, I think a few years ago. But it's shrouded in some weird mystery, hidden in complication. Multiple small and simple systems that are coordinated and connected together to create this highly complex super system that's being used to produce one ultimate outcome, the Great Reset. But what is it? Well, let's clarify that for you today. God has exposed it, so open your eyes, little birds. Okay, my friends. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth. Served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal.
What is the Great Reset? Why should we oppose it? And how can we stop it? You've heard people talk about it. It's something Schwab mentioned in connection with his statement that you will own nothing and you will be happy. Glenn Beck did a deep dive on the Great Reset and came up with what I believe is the clearest explanation I've heard. I'm going to pass on some insight I gained from his exposé and throw in some insights from the brain masseur that I've gleaned from examining the statements made by several others on related topics. So get set to get clarity on all of this. You have probably heard of things like the 2030 Agenda. And by now, hopefully, you've watched the documentaries on Event 201 and others. You might remember hearing Trudeau's speech or hearing about it given to the UN on November 20, 2020. Trudeau declared Canada a supporter of Klaus Schwab's Great Reset and offers some insight into what it means. So we're going to take a look at his statement. He said to the UN, quote, "This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset," end quote. This is what Klaus Schwab said, or says, I should say, on his WEF World Economic Forum website. Quote, "The pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world," end quote. Excuse me? And that from Klaus Schwab, founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum. Trudeau is clearly talking about the World Economic Forum plan for a Great Reset that, according to the guy who has taken point and made this plan public, Klaus Schwab, he envisions resetting the world. On the WEF page, we find segments dealing with the, quote, four building blocks of the Great Reset. And this, take note, and COVID-19, quote, a golden opportunity, end quote, and, quote, now is the time for a Great Reset, end quote. Now, before I go on with Trudeau's quote that stirred up so much controversy over their plan to reset the entire world, take a look at what they are doing with the COVID-19 pandemic that they think is such an opportunity for them. Just open your eyes and see what's going on. Shutting down the small businesses. Keep these things in mind now as I go over them. I mean, wiping them out, pushing everyone into masks, you know, trying to condition us for the CCP takeover. You know, masks that Fauci admitted don't work, you know, to block transmission or contagion from a virus. And why would they do this? Mandating everyone participate in a medical experiment. Mandating that. Look, it's out there, little birds. Open your eyes. The proof is right in front of us. And it's not disputed. I have the receipts, as we like to say these days. I have the letters, for example, from FDA to Pfizer, that the liars have used to say the Pfizer vaccine has received full FDA approval. And I've read them. And I've read them to you. And it's a lie. Nothing in these letters tells us the FDA has given full approval for the Pfizer vaccine called BioNTech. And we know why they don't just go ahead and do that, because they really do have the influence and power to compel FDA to do this kind of thing. So why don't they do it? Well, it's because that would remove the liability cover they're using to escape responsibility for the adverse effects of these vaccines. Let's just say 11,000 dead so far. And that's an old number, by the way. Hard to stay updated on the vax shot death count. Open your eyes, little birds. The faked so-called scientific study that proved hydroxychloroquine was not an effective treatment for COVID was itself proved to be fake. And it was admitted by Lancet, who published it. It was removed from their journal. This is a shame, but it exposes the whole thing as a sham. But think about it. Nothing happens, right? Don't you see that they're pushing this COVID thing and protecting this lie because COVID is their big opportunity to push their great reset? And my point is this. If this is what these people will do to push what they call the great reset, and this is the world we're living in right now that they want to give us, well, it's very clear the pandemic is a useful tool they don't want to lose. And so they keep it going on and on and on and on, and we're getting tired of it. What is this great reset all about? So that they would use this COVID-19 and use it in the way that they're using it. How does this COVID-19 pandemic allow them to further their objectives? So let's finish looking at Trudeau's statement, because it gives us some insight into this whole thing. So in his statement to the UN, after he said that the pandemic gives us an opportunity for a reset, he went on to explain, quote, "This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like global poverty, inequality, and climate change." End quote. Now, first, that this reset plan was pre-pandemic is made very clear here. So it is clear that they are using the crisis to advance a political agenda. Come on, open your eyes, little birds. See the men constructing the net they will use to take you as prey? And also, anytime these characters start talking about reimagining something, look out. Remember what they came up with when they started working on reimagining marriage and gender. Yeah, and that's not all. And in light of that, remember this. God hates the heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Proverbs 6:18. And when men become vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart is darkened, Romans 1:21. Also, remember that the Spirit of Christ Jesus has called us to cast down imaginations and every high, that is, proud thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, 2 Corinthians 10:5. And listen, folks, when you boil this down to its essential base material, you find it is about men attempting to take God's place in the world over mankind, that is, over you. Essentially, they vainly imagine displacing Christ Jesus as Lord over the earth and then setting themselves in his place. Okay, back to Trudeau. In his speech before the UN, November 2020, he said, "The pandemic provides an opportunity for a reset." He explained this means reimagining our present economic systems to create one that will actually address global poverty, inequality, and climate change. And he said this is something they were working on before the pandemic, and that the COVID-19 pandemic provides an opportunity to implement their plan. So is what we're seeing implementation of their plan? Then he throws out the mantra, building back better. Now first, you thought that was something cooked up by Biden and his administration, right? There's nothing original coming from that man. Boris Johnson, the United Kingdom Prime Minister, used the expression, I think it was months before Biden did. The phrase building back better has been bantered about in WEF, World Economic Forum, circles for a long time. So Trudeau and several other world leaders have been talking about building back better for quite a while. And the expression is inextricably connected to the Great Reset. Biden's Build Back Better scheme is an effort to implement Klaus Schwab's vision of a Great Reset, which involves changing the world economic system. The World Economic Forum changed the world economic system. Get it from the beginning. Schwab's foundation was organized to take control of the world's economy and fundamentally change it to an entirely new system. Trudeau continues by explaining what Build Back Better means. He says it, quote, means getting support for the most vulnerable while maintaining our momentum for reaching the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and the SDGs, which is for Sustainable Development Goals. Canada is here to listen and to help, end quote. So, see that Build Back Better is the slogan or the mantra of the Great Reset. And you know that the Great Reset is about fundamentally changing the economic system of the world. But into what? Well, let Klaus tell you. The end game of his vision for the Great Reset is this, in his own words, quote, you will own nothing and you will be happy, end quote. Excuse me? Who will own nothing? Will he own nothing? Not likely. Will the Rothschild family own nothing? How about Gates? Will he own nothing? So who is you in his arrogant declaration? You will own nothing. Clearly, you does not mean Klaus or Gates or Soros or the darker powers behind them. The House of Rothschild and Rockefeller, the super elites, even hiding in their shadows. So let's turn the phrase around, shall we? What Klaus is saying is, we will own everything, and don't worry, we will take care of you. Essentially, these people imagine that they're going to take the place of God and be your caretaker. You see, in their mind, you are product for their consumption. Remember, COVID is the cover for these people to get this thing done. So they can't let COVID end until the fix is in, until they have been able to fully implement the Great Reset or get it so far advanced there would be no stopping it. When you look at this closely, you understand why the lockdowns targeted small business owners and protected large corporations. You know, the big box stores. If this was really about controlling the spread of a disease, and they thought lockdowns was the way to do it. You have to lock everything down. Okay, I hope it's becoming clear. Hold on through the break. I'll be back to help you see the net benefits and avoid their snare.
God's people face a critical battle for America. We the people will take this nation back from the unreasonable and wicked men and women who have dragged this once great land to the maw of hell. Or we will fall into the power of those who hate Christ, Christians, and the Bible. If that happens, everyone loses, because freedom loses. Go to GodsWar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, and anybody that would steal from us our liberties. There is a spiritual side to all this Great Reset stuff. You've likely heard of the World Economic Forum and its founder, Klaus Schwab, funded in part, by the way, by Soros and Gates money, and you've heard about their meetings in Davos. What you might not know is that these are only the public agents of much darker personalities that have entered into league with the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan, by the way. Lucifer is the spirit that animates, directs, and inspires them. He is the menacing spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, according to Paul in Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, whose human servants infiltrate and take hold of principalities. Now, that refers to institutions with influence of varying degrees of control over people and people groups, and also to gain control of powers. And that refers to authorities, persons who hold authority in the world, such as politicians or officers of the law and so on, sometimes through bribery, sometimes through blackmail, and those who rule the darkness of this world. Those closest to Lucifer often remain in the shadows. But all of these children of disobedience have directly or indirectly bowed the knee to Lucifer and dedicated their lives to break the bands and cords of Christ. And this is because it is the influence of Christ in the earth by his spirit operating in and through his people, the children of obedience, that restrains them, interferes with their activities and their purpose to elevate Satan's throne. And yes, he has one, Isaiah 14, 13, and see Revelation 2, verse 13. In Revelation, we find that at the end of the apostolic era, Satan, who had been cast out by Christ at his death, burial, and resurrection, had succeeded at reinserting his influence in the earth to the point he was able to establish a stronghold in Pergamos, where he set up his seat or throne. This is the mystery of iniquity and the work of the spirit of Antichrist. And by the way, if you've seen the Pergamum altar, which we believe is probably where this throne is, you'll notice it was used as a kind of design model for Obama's stage on which he accepted the nomination of his party. Very interesting. Now, folks, this is the mystery of iniquity, the work of the spirit of Antichrist that John, the last living apostle, said had already entered into the world. 1 John 4:3. We may call these people Luciferians. You know, the person to whom Hillary and Obama's mentor, Saul Alinsky, dedicated his book, Rules for Radicals. Something Obama taught, and anyway. Beginning to get the picture? Open your eyes, little birds. You know, Satan once held the power of death over mankind, Hebrews 2:14, and he was prince of this world, John 12:31, 14:30, 16:11. I just reference those things to make sure you know this is coming from the Bible. At one point, he could boast that all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them were in his power. He even offered them to Jesus once, Matthew 4, 1-11. If only Jesus would do what these others have done, and that's bow their knee to worship Satan. But Jesus refused. But get this, the wages of sin is death, you know, and after death comes the judgment. Jesus never sinned, so he could not be killed. Death had no power over him. And of course, that means Satan had no power over him. But Jesus told us that the Father had given to him the power to lay down his life and then to take it up again, John 10:18. So how about that? Jesus went to the cross and they couldn't take his life. No matter what they did to him, they couldn't kill him. But Jesus could lay it down. He could willingly yield it. And that's what he did. He gave up the ghost, and that's how he died. But Jesus said that the Father had given to him the power to take it up again, and he did. Satan had no claim in Christ, you see. Remember, Jesus said, "The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me," in John 14:30. Death could not hold him. Satan was never able to get anything into Christ, and there was nothing in Christ that pertained to Satan. When Jesus arose from the dead, he took from Satan the power of death and emancipated all mankind from Satan's power, that is, from his authority, spiritually. That's what all of this is about. So you see, the objective of these, I suppose we could call them Luciferians, is to bring all the kingdoms of this world back under the power of Satan, making him ruler over all the earth, which is at least partial fulfillment of Satan's boast at the time of his break with God, to finally exalt his throne above the stars of God, he said. And with regard to the earth, to establish his seat on Mount Zion in the sides of the north. Now, you have to compare Psalm 48:2 with Isaiah 14:13 to kind of put that together. But essentially, he wants David's throne. And the reason he wants David's throne is because of the Davidic covenant, in which God promised the kingdoms of the world would come under his rule, or come under the rule of David's heir. And the heir, of course, is Jesus Christ, the son of David. Open your eyes, little birds, as I have shown the roots of this effort to destroy mankind and make him a slave to Satan and his minions. Go back to his rebellion and the fall of man. Okay, so back to the physical dimension. What has the Great Reset to do with all of this? Glenn Beck tracks the human side of this specific move of Satan very well in his book, The Great Reset. I'm going to summarize and then elaborate. As Klaus Schwab et al. Have made clear, it's all about implementing a new economic system which will ultimately result in you, not them, owning nothing and being very happy about it. As I pointed out, this means the elite will own everything, having power over all of Earth's resources, including its most valuable resource, people, human resources, will be owned by the elites as property for their consumption. Well, I'm not sure they'll eat us like we eat steak or something, but they might. And in fact, there's some dark stuff out there that suggests some of them do, but that's for another time. They will control what you eat, where you live, what you do for them, and then also when you will die, perhaps even how. You will be their cattle. One day they will even contrive to brand you like we do cattle, with the mark that will identify you with the beast as owned by him. And they use the poor and your sympathy, your natural human sentimentality, to manipulate you into accepting all of this. Now listen carefully here. Just like Judas did, they hide their malice behind a pretentious care for the poor. Remember how Judas made such a show of being concerned for the poor and even attempted to use that to make Jesus look bad in the eyes of the disciples? You know, Moses directed that when it comes to judgment and justice, we must not, quote, respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, Leviticus 19:15. He said we are to be focused on one thing, and that is righteousness. The goal of good government is not to alleviate the pitiable condition of the poor. We respond to them as we have occasion. Jesus said to the disciples, the poor you have with you always. And he said, whensoever you will, ye may do them good. Matthew 14:7. But these wicked people attempt to manipulate our sympathy for the poor to work unrighteousness in the same way that Judas did. Anytime someone is doing something unrighteous, taking away our liberties, violating human rights, trying to be God over us, take his place, and they use the poor to manipulate us to yield. Remember, these people are Judas types, you know, attempting to use the cause of the poor to wrest judgment and justice and pervert it. Now, I need to move on to conclusion. These wicked people use the poor to destroy the middle class because the middle class is their only remaining competition. These pesky small businesses, independently owned and operated by mom and pop, and they use the plight of the poor to shame Christianity, because the truth is Christians are the only thing that's in their way to achieve their goal, to take the dominion entirely into their own hands and into their control. What is this new system they want to implement? Well, it's not capitalism as we understand it. You know they hate that. And it's not communism. You see, that's a brand that's been so terribly besmirched with failure after failure, they know they can't sell it. And what they want is something very much like fascism, but you can't call it that. And besides, fascism is rooted in an intense nationalism, which actually they don't mind, except they want all of the world to be one nation under Satan. So until they can accomplish all of that, they are introducing a new economic system that they call stakeholder capitalism. Curiously, this is not new with Klaus and company. As Glenn shows, this goes back to World War II. Certain persons under the power of the Prince of the Air recommended to the world during the crisis of World War II that crisis be used to push forward a new world order, a new economic system, and that they then called System X. But when you read the details of System X, you find, well, they're very much like what is being sold today as stakeholder capitalism. This economic system has the government, the corporate partners of the government, various foundations, certain organizations, and so on, groups of people, as the stakeholders. And they will decide what products need to be produced and distributed. The markets will no longer be driven by what the people that they serve want. Instead, it'll be turned around. What serves the interests of the stakeholders will drive markets. And at the end of the day, in other words, big business, married to big government, will own everything, and the people will own nothing. So what can we do? Action. First, bring down the Dominion theft machines. That's the primary tool they have used to establish their control in many of these countries, certainly in America. Second, don't comply. Don't go along with the vax mandates or the mask mandates. None of this unconstitutional nonsense. And let me say, you need to be concerned about any business that has decided to become an agent of the state to impose oppressive and unconstitutional mandates onto their customers. This is a clear indicator that those businesses are ready to surrender and don't mind becoming like a kind of Gestapo to force the public under the will of government. The mask has nothing to do with health. And if you have been paying attention, they have admitted this is true several times. Fauci, CDC, all of them. It's not about health. It's about conditioning you to demonstrate abject submission to the oppressors. And so third, pull out of large international banks. Pull out of big multinational corporations. These are the net builders. You can easily identify them. They don't serve you, they serve the government. For one thing, they will go all Nazi on you, enforcing the unconstitutional mask mandates. They don't see you as the source of their income stream, you know. They know what is coming and that it will be about how they score on something called ESG. I'll explain that another time. You see, because they want their place at the government nipple. Yeah, and the government can just print money at will. And so that's where they're turning to get money. By getting onto the latching onto the nipple of the government dole. Their business model is changing from a focus on you as the customer to a focus on the government as their customer. You know, the government who picks winners and losers. Trust me, any company that forces you to wear masks, to do business with them, is demonstrating their willingness to take the side of government against your liberty. You see, government is able to simply print money, as I pointed out, and the wicked rulers in the United States are leveraging that power to fund what amounts to a hostile takeover of our government, and if they get it, out goes the Constitution along with our Bill of Rights. Look, it's clear what is going on. The Schwabs and the Gates and the Faucis and the rest are, and Soros and so on, are building the net in which they intend to take us as prey, to enslave us. But let us cry out to God. Let us pray we do not become their prey. You know, talking about birds, by the way, good news, it appears the vultures are circling the swamp. More on that during one of our comfort and counsel visits. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. I have lit the lamps at Church of Belfry Arch. You let me know you see they're on. It's lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree. Call 1-805-314-2114. Leave a message for me in our listener response hotline or go to brainmassage.net. Brainmassage.net. You'll find access to the shows, to the show there. You'll find access to all my notes and things like that. Plus, you'll have a place there where you can click a contact us button and send me an email. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.